Acts of Government Hour.
This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency might be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today I'm here with Dr. Terry Udaitis, who is the Director of Cyber Intelligence for a company in Fairfax called Cyvalence. Terry, how are you today?
Fine, thank you, John. Pleasure to be here.
You were on the show about 2 or 3 years ago, and I think the whole world of security has gone upside down and twisted around 3 or 4 times. I thought we'd have you back on the air. But before we begin and talk about security, tell us a little about your background and how you wound up working for Cyvalence, please.
Sure. By trade, I'm a forensic psychologist, a behavioral profiler, and I spent several years as a CIA officer. And from there, I actually went into the private sector when I had an opportunity to profile hackers and insider threat as part of an incident response team. And through that experience, I became involved in cyber intelligence, computer forensics, sort of blending my government intelligence experience with online crawling, collection, and the use of open source intelligence to augment incident response. As you said, now the internet has sort of turned upside down and has grown so much over even the last 3 years. And during that time, Cyvalence offered me the opportunity to synthesize cyber intelligence, security, and profiling in their role as their director of cyber intelligence.
Oh, that's wonderful. My audience here is primarily federal IT professionals, and what I like to tell people is that they get 10 new problems every day. They're challenged. They're told to be secure. They're told to be transparent. They're told to go to the cloud. They're told to be—I mean, they're just getting sick of things, and they're just trying to come up with ideas to creatively solve some problems. And every single one of them has got the problem security, whether it's open source or licensed software or in the cloud or all your servers are down the hall, there's still the security problems there. And that's why I wanted to bring you in and maybe come up with some creative perspectives or new ways to look at these so my listeners can maybe listen to this interview at 2 o'clock in the morning over the spring break and go, geez, I never thought of that. Maybe we can work a way around the problem through some of Terry's experience. And boy, you should have got some great experience. Well, if you look around town, you see what kind of trade shows come in town. You always learn new things. There was the Black Hat for the Govies mm-hmm. that came in January. And there's some silly thing called ShmooCon that was in town here and seemed to be a little bit lighter than Black Hat, but had a similar black background on their webpage, and they had some interesting little conferences there. What do you think of these conferences, Terry? Are they worth going to for my listeners, or is it just something that is a waste of time?
I do think there is some value. I think these conferences demonstrate some methods that are otherwise maybe not viewed or conducted in public. However, I think the viewers and everyone have to view these conferences that they're only one tool in the box. And so you can't consider them your main source or only source of hacker-related information. I think it does assist in opening the thought processes of those who are trying to combat penetrations, social engineering attacks, and other types of compromises. But like anything else, even like capture the flag, exercise, and other demonstrations, they're somewhat contrived in these conference environments. And in the real environments, there are no rules, and the behavior of the adversaries are really only bound by their skills and imagination as opposed to rules of engagement. So absolutely there's value, but, you know, again, one tool in the box, certainly not the end-all, to-all.
You know, at the ShmooCon, they had a session called Printers Gone Wild. And it sounds real silly, and you can sit back and laugh about it. But the point of the fact is that many offices and organizations have combination printer, copy, or fax machines yeah. that have hard drives in them. And for years and years, you've walked by the copier and figure, oh, that's just, you know, this trend. No, there's a hard drive in there. And hackers are figuring out that they can get information from that, or at least maybe even store information on these
right.
hard drives, which I think if you look at the silly nature of the title, Printers Gone Wild, actually that would reinforce the point that but, you know, look at every endpoint in your organization.
Exactly.
That might be the lesson there.
Absolutely. And I think as something as simple as a hybrid printer that does faxing and you know, scanning and other things, those seemingly benign devices are getting more complicated. Soon we're probably going to be communicating with them via apps through our smartphones and the like. So I think that's definitely a point of vulnerability for everybody to not forget about.
3.5 years ago when you were on the air, when I said the word app, you probably thought of something sitting on a server or desktop somewhere. No longer an app now is something you walk around with. Michelle Obama is talking about an app to help control obesity among children. I mean, it's everywhere. And so do you view a threat in many of these small apps that are floating around now, or is this a generic type threat, or this is a whole new class of threats?
I think this is just a morph or an extension of the types of threats we've seen in the past. It's just a new vehicle in which to deliver them to people. And I think everyone has to be careful about what types of apps they're downloading. In general, the iPhone apps, at least according to Apple, they do screen them and test them for malware and the like. However, the Droid apps may not be tested as robustly. So everyone has to tread a little lightly on, you know, where they're coming from, how many are they putting on their phones.
You know, years ago, browsers came out and people started talking about cookies. And over the years, everyone learned how to at least try to manage some cookies and control some information. People now walk in by a smartphone. And according to an article in the Wall Street Journal from 2 weeks ago, many times the smartphone doesn't give you that ability to control what kind of information that organizations can draw from you, does it?
That's correct. So again, while they're wildly useful, because again, you can do everything from your fingertips and not even have to drag around a 3-pound laptop anymore. You have to be careful. I mean, one example is a lot of people don't know that the apps that one downloads to just take photographs and let's say post them up to your Facebook page or your Flickr page, while you're posting that photograph from your iPhone app or your Droid app, metadata comes along with that photograph and includes your GPS location and the time and date stamp, so that if anyone's viewing your Facebook page or your Flickr page or a personal web page or blog of some sort, they can perhaps attain that metadata.
Or if Terry is in Paris taking a picture and she posts it, all of a sudden, well,
exactly.
Terry's out of town, I'm going to break into her house.
Exactly. And I think from a security perspective, and you know, maybe we'll talk a little bit about this later on, if I'm, let's say, a federal government employee and I have a clearance and I'm working at a certain facility, and because I'm at the coffee shop next door or somewhere in the vicinity, or they have a really nice piece of architecture and I take a picture from the external, now I'm really broadcasting to everybody where I work.
Yeah, that gets dangerous. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Terry Gouditis, PhD, Director of Cyber Intelligence for Cyvalence. You know, I read all these top 10 lists and predictions, and I look at CCN's top 10 list, and he talks about social and handheld and this and that, and never mentions desktop computers anymore. It's like, desktop computers, well, Dad, that's so old-fashioned. I guess they don't exist anymore, do they, Terry?
You know, in some environments, I think they don't. And I also think that, you know, added to the desktop and the laptop, our email is slowly becoming a dinosaur, too, where a lot of people are relying on text messaging and IM and Twitter and using their handheld device to actually communicate, as opposed to even using email anymore.
I got a new phone from my wife about 6 months ago, and she had it for 2 or 3 weeks. And I said, well, how's it sound? And she said, well, never a telephone call yet.
Right.
The first 3 weeks, no telephone calls on the new phone. we mentioned earlier about Georgetown University. I talked to you before this interview. You know, they have a course in a master's degree in technology management, and they won't let you graduate unless you take a course in ethics. And I think this is it's a key issue for a lot of people who are listening. I mean, if you're writing code, if you work for the federal government or not, you have to ask these questions about what you're doing or you're not doing more than you ever had to before, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. The whole field of technology, whether you're writing code, writing apps, you know, even trying to manage firewalls and IDS systems and whatever is comprised in the IT departments now, that there are changing, there's a changing culture because of all the technology. So the ethics have to keep up with that. And I often wonder if the ethics topics as well as the legal topics are keeping pace with our faster moving society now.
If I'll bring up this Black Hat conference again, and one of the speakers at the Black Hat conference thought it was fair to launch a counterattack when someone attacks your site, and there are some federal agencies that may or may not engage in that, and there's a whole legal question involved in here of where do you draw the line between what's fair and what's not fair, and ethically you may know the answer, but in 6 months that answer may change. It's this rapidly changing technology that's forcing everything, even ethics, to change.
Absolutely, absolutely. And because I think we don't have cyber laws per se that have kept up, the ethics lines are even harder to draw because we don't know where the hard lines are in the sand legally of what, you know, one organization can or can't do, what should we do, what's fair play. And also considering if there is, let's say, a retaliatory attack back at the hacker, are we now getting into sort of vigilantism, and will that bleed back into the physical world? So I think there's a huge can of worms that everyone needs to really grapple with, because it's not going to slow down.
And one big worm is named Julian, who's an Australian who floats around Europe, and he releases documents.
Yeah.
And so is that illegal? I mean, is that against America? Oh, he's not an American.
Right.
And, so, again, the issue here is not really a technical issue. It's an ethical issue of, well, can you retaliate? Can you go against the Bank of America? There's a vigilante group going against. I mean, it seems like these issues are not as easily to describe or discuss as they were 4 or 5 years ago.
No, absolutely not. And I think WikiLeaks is, you know, one vehicle, if you will, of only one of many. It's certainly the largest one, and certainly now the most renowned. And it does allegedly use a more journalistic style of informants or anonymous donors to collect and post this information. But if you look out on the internet and you look at YouTube and SlideShare and ScriptD and DocsDoc and Flickr and dozens of others, there's quite a bit of disclosed information on those sites. So is that different than WikiLeaks? Is it the same? Who's responsible? Is it actually the domain owner? Is it the individual poster? So there's a lot of moving pieces and parts that, again, ethically and legally, we have to get our arms around.
If you were working for the federal government, working mm-hmm. for an agency, give us maybe just a handful, maybe a top five concerns you'd have, just in general, just for conversation purposes here. Don't have to get too specific, but would you worry more about encrypting data at rest? Would you worry more about wireless attacks? Would you worry more about wireless devices? What would be your priorities in this area?
First and foremost, while we'll dovetail off of WikiLeaks, is actually insider threat. I think we have a new environment, a new culture, and new access, as well as autonomy and power and control in our hand, again, via smartphones,
mm-hmm.
That we didn't have 3 years ago, 5 years ago. And so the first thing I would be concerned about is espionage and insider threat, and how to control that in this new environment.
Disgruntled employee.
Absolutely. Because, again, we have all of this power and access and opportunity to post, chat, photograph, audio tape, videotape, upload, download, all from our smartphones. We don't even need the corporate network or the government network to do this on anymore. We can do it out in the parking lot.
You keep thinking of James Bond breaking into a safe and stealing a piece of paper. Well, hey, John, wake up, drink some coffee. You know, hey,
right.
that was not even old school. That was beyond old school. So it's way different now.
And so I think the changing skills and access are changing the landscape of employee behavior, thus impacting, again, insider threat, possible espionage, disgruntled employees, and what they're able to do now. So that would be my first focus, The other focus is training for the employees to review policies on social media specifically. I kind of liken this to, you know, everybody's using apps and smartphones and Twitter and Facebook. But it's kind of like the old VCR. You know, everybody had one. Everybody was popping in VCR tapes. But how many people had that 12 o'clock blinking light still going? Because they really didn't understand what was happening in the background.
You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Dr. Terry Gouditis, Director of Cyber Intelligence for Cyvalence. If you're listening to this interview and want to learn more, you can go to C-Y-V-E-I-L-L-A-N-C-E, Cyvalence.com, get some more information. And before the break, we started talking about training and what to train and how to train. Now, this isn't like, okay, here's your ABCs and here's how to ride a bike and then never come back to it. This training is almost every 3 months, every 90 days, come back for new threats, huh?
Absolutely. This isn't the classic IT training where, you know, you have to remember to change your passwords and how you handle classified information and authorized access.
Yeah, I remember learning how to set up a VLAN. Okay.
Yep, exactly.
Well, that's not
going
to change.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, every, like you said, couple of months, there's a new social media platform coming out. There's something else you need to be educated on. And the type of education I'm talking about both protects the individual, their job, their position, and the organization from vulnerability and threat. Just looking at Facebook, I would say that the majority of people, certainly new employees, are on Facebook right now. There's like 34 to 37 steps to securely set up your Facebook page. And really, who knows these 30-something steps? But you really need to. You really need to understand how to lock down your information so that unintended users or viewers can't collect information on you indiscriminately and put you in a vulnerable position.
If you take a look at Twitter, last year 100 million people,
yes.
17% of these people signed up with handheld devices.
Yes, exactly.
Now, if you have a handheld device, I would just think a human being is going to be more casual about setting up an account than you would with a desktop. I think it's just human nature.
Yes.
And so I think Twitter now is at 200 million. I mean, it seems like it's a much more casual approach than, you know, when I do my taxes, I'm not going to do my taxes on a handheld device. I'm going to do it on a computer. I'm going to have a cup of coffee. I'm going to think it very carefully through.
Right.
But, hey, set up a Twitter account. Hey, let's do it in the train on the way to work.
Absolutely. And with things like, for your audience that maybe has not heard of Foursquare.com, Foursquare is a platform where you literally broadcast where you are. In most cases, it's because Starbucks or another coffee shop or restaurant is offering you points or the ability to become the coffee shop mayor, and then you can get a free cup of coffee or whatever it is. But as you're going around, again, disclosing where you are on your handheld, someone like me comes along. To me, that's surveillance data without even leaving the comfort of my own smartphone or laptop.
Someone like you, huh, Terry? So you're the one, huh?
Someone like me who thinks like the adversary and hopefully can do some good red teaming.
Well, I'm going to call the police after this. Someone like me. Well, someone with the skill set can use that and harvest that information.
Absolutely. And there are sites out there, robmenow.com.
Really?
I've left my house.com, where there are actually crawlers and collectors that are collecting that type of information off of sites like Twitter and Foursquare and others and actually posting it for people to know that you're not home or where you are. I may look at it from a different perspective, and the federal government audience out there should look at it from a counterintelligence perspective, because if I know where someone's going, maybe where they work, and I can then go from their Foursquare account to their Twitter account to their Facebook. I'm doing targeting, again, from the comfort of my own country and my own environment without ever stepping foot in maybe even the United States.
Well, that gets me kind of scared, doesn't it?
And I think people really need to start thinking that way. If you add on other platforms, social media, there's one called Blippi.com. And this is where you actually disclose your spending habits via your credit card bills to help people find the cheapest deal on that new flat screen TV.
That sounds like you need stupid pills for that, huh? I mean, come on.
So again, you know, if I'm a targeter and I'm an adversary from, you know, another government, what better way to look for targets than to cruise all of these different social media sites and find people who are disclosing or haven't locked down their pages, again, from the comfort of their own environment.
I remember in the first Gulf War, they talked about a target-rich environment.
Yeah.
Well, we can apply that now to robmenow.com.
Yep.
That's incredible. You know, my listeners, a lot of federal IT professionals, and I mean, if my listeners were like, you know, someone running Joe's Donuts, well, you know, you run Joe's Donuts, eh, something gets out, no big deal. There's some listeners of mine who are in some sensitive areas, and
yes.
And if they make a mistake or if they don't train their people to be wary of these, for example, correctly using Facebook, there are some consequences that are more than just a recipe from some donuts.
Absolutely. And again, most of the time when employees, contractors, vendors are disclosing this type of information, they just don't know they're doing it or how much data is actually being exposed. And so training is absolutely necessary, both from the employee perspective and I think from the directors and the high-profile government official perspective, regarding things like if, you know, a certain director doesn't have a Twitter page because they don't tweet, you still have to register one. That's your real estate because you don't want me to come along and sign up for that page and then start to speak on your behalf and masquerade as you. And I can tell you that Civalent sees that on a daily basis with our commercial clients.
So even if you say, hey, I'm John Gilroy, I'm not going to set up a Twitter account, that's not a good defense either.
No, I mean, think about it like you did for domain names 10 years ago. Every company, every organization had their, you know, abc.gov.com.info. Now you have to start thinking about that same type of defensive registration in the social media space, whether it be LinkedIn, Facebook, MySpace, Twitter. Because I can go out and register John Gilroy on Twitter or on LinkedIn.
Yeah, it used to be Exxon.
If I look back at, let's say, who you've interviewed in the past, now that I have your name in LinkedIn, I'm going to send those people invites. So basically, I'm going to recreate your social network, and you don't even know.
Wow.
So not only do people have to proactively register and own their real estate, but have to constantly monitor to make sure that there aren't these masqueraders out there who are either pushing false information, false flag information, but it is a whole new landscape.
It's your social media landscape you have to protect.
That's correct.
Instead of a mule and 40 acres, you got to set up a virtual 40 acres and protect that property.
Absolutely, because the social media space, in my opinion, is a social engineer's dream.
Wow.
To, you know, link together and create a network, get into somebody's network, or just purely sort of listen and collect off of people's accounts who are not locked down.
We are running out of time, Terry. We could go on for a long time, and maybe we'll come back and visit us again later on this year. You have been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, talking security with Dr. Terry Gouditis, who's the Director of Cyber Intelligence at Civalent. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. WFED, your source for federal news now.
Join AGA for its National Leadership Conference, February 17th and 18th at the Ronald Reagan Building and International Trade Center. AGA will bring together government, financial, management, and accountability leaders to share valuable insight, proven strategies, lessons learned. Sessions over current issues relating to the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, the effects of political transitions, and what the future holds. Show your commitment to a more accountable future. Register today at agacgfm.org/NLC.
Newsmakers on the Federal Drive with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris.
Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano. People don't realize that DHS is that deeply involved in an event like the Super Bowl.
We provide inspection equipment so nothing enters the perimeter that hasn't been through a vacuum machine. We will help them with supplying things like canine teams on the day of the game. And the FBI is also part of this team in the off chance that there would actually be a terrorist incident.
Hear the entire interview online. FederalNewsRadio.com/Federal.